Hello.
Hey, John, it's Forrest. How are you doing?
Doing fine.
Good. Hey, you just filled out a form online about your property on Richland Drive.
Uh-huh.
And I just wanted to have a conversation and see what's going on and how we can help. Have I caught you at a bad time?
Not necessarily.
Okay. Well, tell me a little bit about what's going on.
Well, who are you?
My name is Forrest McGee.
Who?
My name is Forrest McGee, and I own a company called CVA Homes, and we buy properties, and you filled out a form, and that's how we got to each other.
Okay. Well, tree hit my house. Knocked a hole in the roof and knocked out the ceiling in the kitchen, and I was interested in maybe, you know, seeing what I could give for it, I guess.
Okay.
In case I need to sell.
Are you...
I don't have homeowner's state, so...
You don't have homeowner's insurance?
No.
Okay. Are you, I mean, is the house livable right now, or can you see the sky?
Oh, yeah. I'm living in it now. Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
I've got the kitchen sealed off.
You got the kitchen sealed off? Is that what you said?
Yes. So I can keep heat in the house. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Yeah, sure. Well, I'd love to be able to help.
Sir?
I'd love to be able to help. So.
Well, I mean, you can come drive by and look at it and see if you're still interested and walk around.
Okay. Today's probably not the best day with the weather. We could probably do something later in the week. If that's all right with you.
Sure, I'm no rush.
Okay. So maybe I could come out and meet you like say 11 o'clock on Friday.
This coming Friday.
Yeah, does that work for you?
Let me see.
I could do 10 or 11.
Friday, that'd be the 21st.
The 21st, that's correct.
Yeah, probably 11, probably good.
Okay, 11 o'clock. Okay, I will set up an appointment for me to do that. Let me see real quick here. This is your best email address, the wattman5@aol.com?
Correct.
Okay, when I make an appointment, I do it through a Google Calendar, and it'll send you an invitation so that you'll see that, you know, I'll be there at 11 o'clock. And I will come and, you know, get some numbers together and see if it makes sense for you or not.
Okay.
Now, let me ask you a couple more questions real quick, John. So since you don't have insurance, is that because, you know, your house is paid off?
Correct.
Okay, perfect. And do you have somewhere to go?
Not right yet.
Okay. Okay. All right, John. Well, I will see you Friday morning at 11 o'clock, and we'll continue the conversation.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, sir.
And what was your first name again then?
It's Forrest, F-O-R-R-E-S-T.
Okay, two R's, okay.
Two R's, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. F-O-R-R-E-S-T. Okay.
And my last name is McGee. It's M-C-G-H-E-E.
Okay. I knew some McGees. I'm trying.
My family was in Crewe. So that's where most of my, you know, family buried is in Crewe. My grandparents moved to Richmond when they got old enough to get out of Crewe. It was too busy for them there.
Yeah, I understand. The railroad and all that stuff there. Probably, I know you're joking, but yeah.
Yeah.
It does have a railroad there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big railroad. Our family's buried right there at the cemetery by the rail yard.
Uh-huh. Shelly McGee, insurance agent of mine, she sells me, she's my Humana plan. I don't know if you related to her husband or not, but she's in Bedford now.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you've got any relatives there you know of?
No, I don't. I don't know. My only cousins on that side of the family, one lives in the western part of Richmond, like Amelia area, and then another one lives in Arizona. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know anybody past that. My sister's good at that lineage stuff, but mm-hmm. I haven't gotten into it.
Right. My cousin did a big lineage thing for the family. So, we on my Birchfield side of family, uh-huh. he came in 1667. And
wow.
Most of them settled down in the mountains of North Carolina and Tennessee, you know, where was that big Smoky Mountain Park is. I don't know if you've been down there and seen Cades Valley. Well, Cades Mountain is full of Birchfields. Yeah, it's big Birchfield. And they come up, this is on my mother's side, they came up and down in, what's that town down there? Halifax.
Oh, yeah.
Halifax. From North Carolina into, you know, Halifax. And then my father's, my mother's German and Scott-Irish, and it came up with one of them started over here, Bobby Talk Town, years back then. And Irishmen come over, Kilcullen come over and indentured there to the Calhoun family. And then he, when he left, he took a daughter, Sarah, you know, and that's the start of another branch of my mother's family, you know, actually. But my father's people, they were from Dwight, Illinois, down there, just south of Joliet. They immigrated back there into the after Civil War, up to 1900s, I think, 1990s, I mean, 1890s, to the coal fields. That's what they came over for, go to work in the coal fields. But anyway, I was hatched in Ohio and raised up in West Virginia and came to school down here and didn't work out and stayed down here. And I've been here, you know, just off and on. I mean, since I was about 18 when I started school down, I joined the National Guard when I was 17. We come down here at Camp Pickett to train.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's Fort Pickett now, I think. Moved it up a step.
Uh-huh.
But, and then I went to school tech and didn't work out, and they transferred me. I got a job when they had a job office, you know, to find a job, you know, help you find a job. I got on with a phone company, and they transferred me down here, but they didn't like my hillbilly accent, I guess, because they asked me to find another job. So anyway, I worked my way around. I ended up being an electrician. So.
Oh, that's my first career, too. I'm an electrician.
Sir?
That was my first career. I'm a master electrician.
Oh, okay. I am, too. Well, that's interesting to know.
Yeah, my dad said, my dad owned an electrical contracting business. And so I went through the apprenticeship in his company and got my journeyman. But I started when I was like 19. And so I was a journeyman by 22 or 23. And then I left my dad's company when I was 25 and I went around the world. Traveled for the government as a contractor and did security, technical security, you know, and power systems for alarms and cameras and stuff all over the world for the government for 5 years. And then when I came back, I started my own business. I have my own virtual contracting company now that just turned 18 years old last week.
So you turned how?
My electrical business turned 18 years old last week. Weekend was his birthday.
I was in business about, let's see, I started in 83.
Wow.
So, you know,
you've been doing it a minute.
I don't know. How many? Let's see, 83. What did I say, 83?
83,
yeah.
Sir?
Yeah, that's when I started my business, by starting a trade in 73.
Hmm.
So I saw about 10 years before I got talked into going into business for myself.
Yeah.
I used to work for a lot of out-of-state contractors, because they paid much better than the local boys did.
Right.
And when I come back, I was making like $16, something higher than like a top helper, and then they made me foreman, and then they shut the job down, and then I come back here, and they wanted to start me out at $3.50 or $4.50. I said, shit on that. A friend of mine owned a pool room. He had a lot of experience. He was one of those specialists in shipping grain. That was his job. So he decided to open his office and make a pool room. He loved all them pool hustlers down there at on the coast down there and around Norfolk, you know, all them big old pool hustlers. So
mm-hmm.
he opened a pool room and had all them come down and do an exhibition for a grand opening. And he was telling me, he said, shit, John, you can do as much for yourself as you can for somebody else. Go in business for yourself. So I had about $150. I had enough to get my license and some stuff and start off. And I retired last May, you know. I didn't make a killing, but I made just enough to live and have a few toys and stuff like that, you know. But didn't have much saves. I got me a cabin cruiser and a Corvette and a Suburban and to pull it with and little Bravada, 2002 Bravada, you know, so, and then my house. But the thing is, see, my house also owned but halfway by my ex-wife. We worked a deal way back there when we split up. She had a little money and had a good job. I didn't have a good job at the time. And that's before I went in business for myself. And she let me have the house, and I made a deal with her, you know. I'd give her half the house. I'd pay for it and give her half whenever, you know, it was to be sold. So,
is she still alive?
Sir?
Is she still alive?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She's better health than I am. Yeah, she's 84, I think, you know. And,
okay.
And her parents had a lot of money, and they left her, you know, over the years, took care of the kids and everything, took care of her, and then she remarried. And he died of esophageal cancer about a year ago, and so he had two homes. So she's got both of them, just sold one in Charleston where they were living. She met him at the hospital. She's a nurse, was a nurse, you know. I think she's retired now, I'm pretty sure. And she lives down in Rollsburg, West Virginia, and he was raised by his grandparents. His parents were killed in a car wreck, and his grandmother raised him. And they live in his house in Roberg, and he just passed, so she's got that, I'm sure. That's where she's living now. She lives there.
Mm-hmm.
And I had two daughters. One died 30 minutes after she gave birth to her son, and he was either dead or unconscious when they got him out of her, and he's living now and going to college.
Wow.
Next secondary. He lives up in Cumberland, Maryland, where his dad lived. And his dad remarried, and they got three little extra girls now. He's got three sisters, half-sisters, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I mean, my family's kind of spread out. But I had two daughters, and one daughter, she lives in Charleston, West Virginia, and she just got married to 29. She decided to get married. And she's been out here helping me kind of straighten out, getting things under control, you know, so I can live in this house.
Right.
For a while, how long, I don't know. I got a tarp up there. When they took the tree out of the roof, they just put a tarp down over it. And then I found out I had a leak in the bedroom. My bed slid in and put a bucket under there. And somehow I called a buddy of mine to see if he knew anybody. He was telling me an old friend of mine. About an old friend that was into the, you know, construction. I called him, and he come up right that night when all that wind and rain put a tarp up the bedroom side of the house. So anyway, it's been a journey. So I'm like you, but you know, yeah, I started off when I was married. I started off in the electrical trade and. Working and my first how I got started in there was I was talking to that friend of mine, you know, that owned the pool room, and he was telling me I'd been in the you know, like I said, my family, they didn't like my hillbilly accent, and they asked me to leave, and I had an injured knee, and they didn't want to take me down in the regular, you know, work crew. So so anyway, he was telling me about a place where they had was doing construction. He said they were taking any live body they could, and so I went out there and applied, and they put me in the electrical crew.
Right.
And I stayed in that, and then when they laid off, you know, I come back to Lynchburg and kind of killed around. I was on unemployment. I was getting unemployment, and I didn't want to go to work for $3, you know, $2.75. I finally did, because the wife was bugging the hell out of me after my, especially after my unemployment. I was getting more money unemployment than I was, you know, getting for a job, you know. So I laid on it for a year. Went to work with an electrical company here in town. Went through, you know, like my apprentice work, you know, and what have you, and journeyman's, and got my journeyman's, and then after got my master's and everything, went to school. You see, 3 years of the apprentice work, went to night school, and then 2 years of electronics, I took that, and then 2 years of, it was a 3-year HVAC program I finished in 3 years. And got my journeyman's, and I should have set for my master's, but I just didn't feel like I had the experience and being honest, you know what I'm saying, being honest, master, HVAC man. I just, you know, I respected the trade enough to say, no, I'm really not a master, you know, but I could have, you know what I'm saying. I don't know, didn't. All my friends in the class were disappointed that I didn't sit for them, but I told them, you know, I really didn't think. But then, so I fiddled around with that, and like I say, and I retired last May. My hands, you know, started getting real bad, crooked, you know, arthritis from working that electrical trade, heavy duty. They always put me on the heavy duty stuff. I never got in the wiring crew or anything like that, you know. Mm-hmm. Always running conduit on a power plant. Last job I had was on a power plant down there, up on them girders, you know, and I had that bad knee, and I didn't, you know, I had a chance to go back, but I got to thinking that, you know, I'd aged a little bit more, and I said, no, I don't think my knee would be safe enough to work them damn girders anymore. I just gave it up and continued working for myself, you know, until I retired.
Right.
But it was good to know another electrician, so you kind of know what it takes to get there.
I think electricians, quality electricians, you know, it's one of the best trades. My dad So I'm a third generation electrician in my family.
Wow.
And, you know, my dad, you know, I was doing concrete. I was doing cabinet making out of high school. I was doing cabinet making, and then I went to concrete work. And my dad said, you know, if you're going to make a career out of construction, you need a licensed trade. I don't care what you do, but, you know, I have an electrical company. You can come work with me, which I had worked for him all the summers and everything anyway, you know, so I already knew what pipe was, wire was and stuff. And I said, okay, well, you know, he said, you need a licensed trade, whether it's me or whether it's anybody, you need a license because nobody can ever take it away from you. And he was right, you know.
Oh, yeah, you know. Oh, I loved it. I got into it. I mean, you know, eventually. And then when I went in myself, oh, you know, it's all service and a little bit of construction. One too much. I just me, you know, start off just me for a long time. And then I met this lady or something, and she had, she was cleaning my house somehow. We got hooked up together. She had three sons, and one of them was really, they were going to that trade school, you know.
Uh-huh.
And the one boy, he really took off, and he liked to work it, you know. And I used him for years and years till he finally got mature and wanted to, you know, go out on his own with a wife and all that kind of stuff. And he got into some kind of woodworking outfit, a lumber company or something.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, after he'd been in there about a year, he wanted to get back in electrical, you know. So he married this girl, like I say, and her parents were worked at B&W or somehow. And he got in down there and got into the electrical crew right there. But I haven't seen him for years. I'd love to run into him, you know, sometime. But we don't keep in contact, you know. So I keep getting calls from people like you, and one trying to cut in now. So if it beep beeping bothers you, that's what it is. You know? But anyway, you know, most of the time I work by myself, and I pick up somebody, you know, here and there, a couple of buddies of mine that I used to work for a conveyor company. You know, when I was kind of out of work, I picked up a job with them, you know, and I learned a lot about controls and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that helped a lot, you know. And I had that background in the electronics and stuff, so it kind of was easy for me to pick up that kind of work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I had a good, you know, a good business people, you know. I worked all kinds of, you know, stuff and service work, you know. I never was into the residential, you know, except one time one of my buddies asked me to help him do a house one time. That's how I learned residential. But most of mine was in commercial and light industrial, you know. So I had a good
background. We did some, I didn't do cable and fiber optic and stuff like that. But I always shied away from residential. I didn't like it. You'll see me on Friday. I don't have the body for crawl spaces and attics, you know.
You're breaking up a little bit. I don't know.
I don't like crawl spaces, but now that I'm a home investor, you know, I have to do it sometimes. But
well, it's, your background's good because that helps you know what you can do with the house when you. Do you flip them? Is that what you do?
Yeah, we flip.
Mm-hmm. So you know that. You couldn't ask for a better background because you can have that knocked out. You know, that's probably one of the most important parts of a home inspection, I think, you know.
Yeah, man. I tell people all the time, I say that Home Depot and Lowe's is the worst thing that ever happened to a house. Because you get all these unqualified people doing the home improvements, man. I said, I've seen some things. Sometimes it's like, how did this guy not die, right? How did he not catch his house on fire? It's just crazy. Some of the things. I've seen some bad stuff, man. Like, concealed splices and stuff. And, you know, like, they just take wire and, like, you know, wrap, they'll skin back. skin back a conductor and wrap another one around it, you know, because, you know, they don't want to actually, like, put a junction box in there and then they tape it up. I mean, some of this
stuff. Oh, that kind of stuff, yeah.
That's
yeah.
just absolutely horrible. Mm-hmm. Horrible.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people, well, a lot of contractors themselves, not, you know, a lot of contractors over the years, they got a kind of a electrical license, you know what I'm saying? Builders,
yeah.
the builders themselves.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah, they had those things like that, you know, connections or whatever in the walls and whatever. Yeah. Yeah, people. People don't care. I mean, you know, it's just like people out driving drunk and all that stuff, drinking. You know,
yeah.
they just really don't give a shit about their fellow humans, you know.
And themselves. They just don't think that they
yeah,
hurt themselves.
I know. Yeah, and you read about them dying young, you know, where they just drink themselves to death or whatever, you know, not take care of themselves. I don't know. Like I say, I'm 85 and I occasionally drink a beer, you know, but that's about the limit of my alcoholism. I never smoked, you know.
Hmm.
So now, right now, you know, I'm fighting this ceiling and roof thing, trying to figure out what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Like I said, I didn't have homeowners, and I got just a smidge of, you know, over the years, I saved a little bit of money, but when I was out of work, you know, and slow, you know, I had to eat into my little bit of savings, you know.
Yeah.
And gradually, you know, of course, I tried to put money into IRA because that helped with the taxes, you know. And now I got a little bit in there, so I'm a veteran. You know, I'm not disabled, but I'm handicapped, you know, because of my knee injury. And they don't want to give me any money for it. And, it didn't happen when I was on active duty. It happened when I was on inactive duty, but I was still under their control, you know. And so, anyway, it is what it is, and I don't want to waste any more of your time. But you're welcome to come look at it. I mean, you know, like I say, I don't know when I could sell it. Like I say, my ex-wife and my daughter, they're pretty close, you know, and they're not going to let me sell it too cheap, what they think's too cheap, you know, so that's...
Even with a hole in the roof?
Sir?
Even with a hole in the roof?
Yeah, even with the hole, they're not going to let it go, you know, too cheap. I mean,
right.
you know.
Right.
I mean, the lot, I figure the lot's worth the... I think it's... it might be, we call it asset, or what we call it...
Assessed?
Yeah, yeah, pardon. My damn mind, you know, I just don't remember good. Assessed 34, 35, I think, something like that. I think it's worth 50 because if you come out and look, I got the best view in Richland Hills, really.
Okay.
The mountains and everything. So I figure that's worth 50,000 for this lot. And then I figure the house is worth at least still worth 50,000 bucks.
Okay.
You know, maybe 75. So.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm thinking, you know, to have to go for around somewhere. That's where.
Take a look and, you know, get some plans on paper and, you know, see what works for you.
Yeah, well, you know, like I say, I don't know whether, you know, maybe I can get some charitable organizations to fix my roof and live it. I don't really want to go anywhere to live, you know. I can go to the Moose home, you know, but I have to give everything I got up, and so then that's got to be sold and all that kind of crap, you know. And then I got all my little, my, you know, personal effects. I got an old salvage yacht, or not yacht, we call it cabin cruiser. I got a Corvette and some outbuildings, you know. Then I got all my personal stuff, my furniture and all TVs, you know, and stuff, appliances and stuff like that. I got to figure out how to get rid of it. You can't just give it away to go to the place, you know, the Moose home. They want to know where all that money is, and they want, you know, whatever I get for it. They're going to want that to let me in, you know. Same way a little retirement home here in Bedford called Carriage Hill. They want the same thing, you know, they're going to want that money. Because I have enough Social Security, you know, I didn't really make a lot of money. I got a little, you know, got a little bit of Social Security. It was enough to keep me, you know, an old house, you know. So that's not enough for them to take, so I have to go through the city or social services. And they're going to want everything I got, you know, somehow to pay the difference of what, you know, what I need to stay here. I have a lady friend who used to live in my house here. And we had a little falling out, but I had to make her leave. She set the kitchen on fire one time, you know.
Yeah, that's not good.
Drinking, you know. Well, she just, you know, she did slip around drinking, and I think that's what caused it. But anyway, we were talking, and she in the office. I was working on her bookkeeper, her checkbook. She'd write a check, forget about it, and it would balance out and come back. You know, she'd get those insufficient charges, you know. So one day earlier, I said, Phyllis, why you cook so hot? The skillet, she said, that's just the way I do. Evidently, oil in the skillet popped out and got on the electric burner and set the kitchen on fire. And she rushed in there. And luckily, a buddy of mine gave me one of them commercial fire extinguishers because he didn't have no use for it. And was sitting in there on the floor. And she put the fire out. There'd have been some damage, you know, already done on the cabinet work and stuff. But I had homeowners in, and I took the money. They gave me a little bit of money, you know, and I took it. And I said, well, I can take this amount of money, get it patched up, you know, myself. And so that's what I did. And when I did that way, they wanted the kitchen completed, you know, according to the estimate, the big estimate to fix all that stuff. And I said, you know, I just didn't pay for it. And since I didn't pay it, bring it up to their code, they canceled me. And I just said, well, hell, they don't need me. I don't need them. I just never carried insurance from anyone. You know, so anyway, that's the story. So when you come look, if you want, I guess you want to come through the house and all that stuff, what you can. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll see you Friday then.
Friday at 11 o'clock. Thank you, John.
Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you.
Take care.
Okay. Great day.